morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. And guess what today's going to be? Today, we are going to show you and talk to you and explain to you how much effort goes into the 4th of July parade from the crew at PCTV and WTBR. I have with me Sean Sayre. He's the executive director.
He's the big boss.
And Matt Tucker, who's now a big boss up in Northern Berkshire. Guys, Matt, how long have you been producing this thing?
Oh, Sean and I were just talking about this, and I don't remember off the top of my head that number now.
Wow.
I want to say 7 or 8 years. Yeah. Does that number sound right, Sean?
Well, if you don't count the pandemic years, maybe, but I would say it was definitely the last 7 and then probably another 3 or 4 before that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would say because you've been doing it basically almost the entire time I've been at PCTV and WTBR. So tell me, it's like, a couple hours before you get ready?
That's all right? Yeah, we just throw it together.
We just sort of show up.
It all happens just like magic.
I know. That's what everybody thinks. Yeah. Everybody said, that was a great interview. When did you do that? The day of the parade.
Right.
When do you start, Matt?
So the process for producing the parade starts literally months ahead of the parade itself. I think our first pre-production meeting at PCTV always ended up being late April, early May, and May as if we were getting a late start that year. Because there's lots of pieces that have to be put into place, communicating with the parade committee, because they are a tremendous part of the behind the scenes process for the TV side of things.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows that there can't be a parade without the parade committee, but I don't think people realize how integral they also are to the television coverage of the parade, because all of the sort of moving pieces that the station gets to capture and the team of staff and volunteers puts together in order to create that final show relies a lot on the parade committee giving us the right pieces on the outset. So, and that April meeting is very much here's what's changed on the PCTV side. What does the parade committee need to do in order to help us adapt to those changes? Here's what's changed on the parade committee side. Here's what those changes mean for the television production.
Yeah.
Putting all those pieces together, figuring out stuff that we need to do in advance. Very often that meeting also includes discussion of the Grand Marshal and how we're going to do that piece. Discussion of the promotional things that PCTV does. Because a decent part of that pre-parade experience is PCTV's parade and preview.
Yeah.
Which is an hour-long show where a third of it is getting to meet the Grand Marshal and talk to them about the exciting experience of being involved. Part of it is talking with the parade committee about the changes they've made and the things that they're looking towards. And part of it has sort of shifted in between, here's the changes that PCTV does. But has also played into communicating with folks like Downtown Pittsville Inc., for example, who have programming that occurs around the parade so that the parade is the centerpiece of an entire 4th of July Pittsfield-centered extravaganza.
Yes. And I don't think some of the people realize that piece either. So we'll talk more about that, but continue. Because I never realized it was all, you know, I would go to the drum and bugle because I like that. I don't go to fireworks because I don't like that.
Well, Bill, if I could jump in a little bit to add to what Matt was saying about why we need so much time to put this together, because it isn't obvious necessarily to the viewers on TV, you know, why it would take so long to put something like that together. So I'll just mention that it is a multi-camera television production. So if you imagine yourself recording something with your phone or your video camera or something, you can get a pretty adequate a representation of what's going on in front of you. And now multiply that by 8 or 9. And each one of those cameras that we use on the parade route in our little production area is capturing a different angle, a different aspect of what's coming at us. And so, you know, there are close-up shots, there are wide shots, there are moving shots. We have a shot on a 25-foot camera arm or a jib, we call it. You know, we have wireless cameras. And then, so each one of those has an operator. And so each one of those people are volunteers of PCTV. And they need to be, you know, we need to make sure that they can be there that day, be there on time. We need to feed them and make sure they got water and that they're, you know, the care and feeding, if you will, of our volunteers. Very important. And then all of the other systems, if you will, that need to fall into place. The production needs power. So we need to take that from somewhere. Yeah. We need to have a live connection back to PCTV to make sure that we can transmit it and get it out live the way it's the people would expect to see it. And that doesn't, you know, just happen magically. It happens because it's been set up and it's been tested and thoroughly vetted as a, you know, solid connection. We need intercoms. We need communication methods, both to talk to our volunteer camera people and everyone else on the crew, and then to talk to the talent, the people who are our announcers who are talking about the parade. Some of the things that Matt does, he can talk about, which are, you know, he talked about the integration with the parade committee. That requires making sure we don't write the script necessarily for it. We may edit it and massage it a little bit for television, but for the most part, all that information is 160 different acts that are coming down the street. They've all got a story to tell, right? It might be a couple sentences or a paragraph. And that's the kind of information that our announcers will tell their audience. So all that has to be set up. The announcer's set has to be set. So there's lighting and there's sound and there's monitors where they can see what's going on. There's wireless microphones. There's the the national anthem that happens in the middle of the street right before the parade comes down. And then there's the pacing that we also try to do, which is if you want to capture something that's moving down the street at a fairly rapid rate sometimes, and you want to capture that for television, you also need to make sure that you have sort of enough steps and enough pace to be able to get those shots. Right. And then you're just hoping that you can push the button at the right time to get it there. And, you know, one more thing I'll throw in there is something that Matt has done almost every year, I think every year since he worked at PCTV, which was graphics for the parade.
Yes.
When you watch the screen, you'll see, you know, the correct title and location and all the other things of the act or the event that's coming down the parade route. And you get to say, oh, okay, I understand that that is what I'm seeing now. It's a very important aspect. So all of those things somehow have to come together for that 2 hour, 2.5 hour broadcast once a year.
I hope the people out there are really listening because for years, PCTV and Sean, how many years have they been broadcasting the parade?
Well, interestingly enough, when PCTV was first incorporated in 1986, one of the main things that people at that time, the volunteer board of directors, that very first group had talked about was, wouldn't it be great if we could broadcast the 4th of July parade on this new thing, PCTV? It wasn't even called PCTV at that time. That was a name that came later. And the very first broadcast that was ever done with the first equipment that was ordered, it was still actually housed in cardboard boxes at the time, was the 1988 4th of July parade. And that was done, again, as a multi-camera. They only had three cameras at the time. They had a very, very scant amount of equipment. It was just a bare bones level of equipment, standard definition, but it worked. And we still have a little piece of that tape remaining here today at PCTV. Oh. And we look back on it kind of interestingly. And then there were a few years in between there where we didn't cover it because if people remember, there was a national broadcast of the Pittsfield parade, your hometown 4th of July parade that was actually shown on PBS stations and Armed Forces Television and places like that. That lasted a few years. And during that time, PCTV from, I want to say, 92 and 93 forward, we were also broadcasting from a different location. So that national group had the Park Square location.
Right.
And we were set up down North Street, right in front of, I guess, where the Rite Aid or Walgreens, I guess, would be right now. Okay. In that area of North Street. So we've been at it for a long time, Bill.
Yeah, and I think thinking back on the people, and I made it when it's been blistering hot, and I read it when it's been pouring rain. But I throw this in for myself. In fact, one of the things I missed the most after family and holidays was the 4th of July parade when I was in Vietnam, because for when I was a kid growing up, and not that I've ever grown up, but before I age, my father was part of the original, when it was the firemen who ran it. He was on that committee. So we would go to the parade and then we go to the fireman's muster.
And that was at Wacona Park, I'll bet.
In Wacona Park. Yeah. And it was like my whole youth growing up, it was that, you know,
And I understand from the documentary that we produced during the COVID year of 2020, yeah, when we couldn't go out and shoot a parade because there was no parade to shoot.
Right.
We went back and looked at the history of the Pittsfield parade. And there was a good chunk of time when the firefighters ran that parade. It was from just after World War II, if I remember right.
That's right.
All the way through the mid to late 70s.
Yeah. What finally happened towards the end, my father retired in 68, but what was starting to transpire was insurance.
Oh.
And all this, you know, prior to that, a bunch of guys got together, called up a bunch of fire trucks and a couple of high school bands and some cheerleaders. And I walked down North Street and everybody clapped and it was great.
Yeah.
But then it started to get, excuse me, more sophisticated. And, I can remember just like it was yesterday, and you all know this. I don't remember what time of the day it is, but I can remember this is my father sitting at the kitchen table telling my mother, this is getting very complicated now with insurance and other issues that were coming in. If I'm not mistaken, there were some city council people on the city council who didn't want it to continue.
And that would be unfortunate, right? I mean, what a gem to have for the city of Pittsfield.
My niece used to drive from Foxborough up here for the 4th of July to show her kid a parade that lasts over 10 minutes. But the broadcasting for the audience and the listeners, it takes a lot of coordination, and they do it in the blistering heat and in the pouring rain. And, you know, we had a great, thank God, we had a great year this year.
It was very nice.
With the day.
It was gorgeous. It
couldn't have been better.
Yeah. And I guess that's the nature of what we in the industry call outside broadcast.
Yeah.
It actually has a name in the industry, OB, outside broadcast. And that, you know, brings with it a number of other variables and factors that you have to figure in. And having done the parade many years in a row, and Matt can speak to this as well, there are years just like this year where we get the Goldilocks scenario. We get a little bit of overcast, so the pictures on the camera look nice. There's no rain. It's not hot. It's not cold. You know, we don't have any lightning and thunderstorms and all the other things. And it's just, it works. Those are great years. There are other years where it is just so hot, where, you know, people are going through bottle after bottle of water, just trying to stay hydrated, and, you know, breaking everything down at the end is quite the hassle. There are other years that I think nothing is worse, Matt, you can talk to this, than rain on the parade day for TV anyway. I'm sure I speak for the other folks that are in the parade that don't like the rain either, but television cameras do not like rain.
Yeah, there is nothing quite like the process of, well, and there are two sort of horror scenarios that occur when you get rain involved. Scenario number one is the controlled scenario where you realize that it's going to rain and you start eliminating things from the list of what we know we can operate correctly. So all of those really gorgeous far away shots that you get from some of the wide cameras end up having to be taken off because the equipment shouldn't be in the rain. The jib camera ends up being taken off the list because it really does not like the rain.
Very small moving parts there. Yeah.
There are a number of things that, and it, to the credit of the staff and the volunteers and everyone who puts the parade together, yeah, I don't think anyone watching at home realizes the shifts that have to occur. No. Us living in the midst of it and knowing how gorgeous the parade can be when we're given the right conditions to make it perfect. Yeah. But to the credit of everyone on the team, when we have to start taking cameras offline and switching things out and hardening everything down so that we can still produce a parade, because rain actually makes the coverage more important, because then we know that a lot of the people who would be on the street are now at home.
Yep.
Good point.
I would say the other scenario that comes up and has come up a couple times is when the rain surprises us.
Oh, yeah.
And in those instances, you end up with the exact same process of bringing things offline. It just happens at, I think the unofficial phrase would be, at a catastrophic pace. Because at that point we're deciding, okay, these pieces of hardware are beginning to malfunction, so we've got to come up with plan B, and these pieces of hardware shouldn't be in the rain, so we've got to pack them up. And that's all happening in the background while you've got your production team still on the cameras. You've got Sean, who served as the director for the parade for many, many years.
Yeah.
Graphics and audio, and everyone who's in the truck, and anyone who's on a camera that can handle some rain is still out there and still operating things and making it work. And there's an iconic, semi-surprised by rain moment that I can remember. Of us, we knew the possibility of there being rain was relatively high, but we didn't know that it was going to rain quite so much, or that it would be quite so chilly that year. And there's this iconic image that many of us have of our former executive director, Bernie Avalli, who was running the handheld camera, stepping sort of off to the side and taking off his shoes to pour the water out. Because that's the sort of rain that we were getting.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, the safety of our crew is number one. So
yeah.
There were years where if we're thinking that thunder and lightning is going to be involved, immediately, you know, the jib is scratched. So we can't do
Right.
And we can't do the camera up on top of 7 North Street, which is that big wide shot that everybody gets to see with the all of South Street with the parade coming at you. That's a great shot.
That is a great shot.
And, you know, so there's no way we're going to put someone in danger for that. And so we, as Matt said, we kind of scale back and you say, okay, what's the minimum number of cameras that we can use to still tell the story of what's happening here and still give people some good pictures without putting people in danger? And, you know, the shoes filled with water beside the point, you know, we can handle a little of that. We usually break out the plastic garbage bags and start wrapping our cameras up with those. And, you know, because we don't want any major damage of equipment either. So we have made it through some of those things. And still, I don't think there was ever a parade where we just packed it all in and said, oh, well, that was a good try. I mean, we've always put a product out there that people could watch.
Yeah. One of the rain deals I remember, it was predicted, but it wasn't, as Matt said, it wasn't predicted at the volume. And so I always stand in front of St. Joe because it has everything I need: restroom, drinks, food, and shade. So I'm standing there and all of a sudden it came. So I ran up and stood on the little porch in front of the rectory of St. Joseph's. And everybody's, come on, come on. I said, I'm dry. Dudes, what is the most, I don't want to say challenging, but when you sit down to do it, there's so many moving parts. And that's what I want to get across to the people who stand there and clap and, or what, even more so the people who watch it at home. And I get a lot of really, excuse me, positive feedback from people about, well, I can't stand anymore and I can't carry the chair, so I just watch it from home.
And I know that a good number of people also watch from places like nursing homes and hospitals. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, because of the streaming, they're watching from all over the country and really the world. You know, in a way where previously, if you didn't go, you didn't see it.
That's a credit, and let me, you guys are bashful and shy and all that, but for the listeners and the viewers, none of this would happen if it wasn't for PCTV and WTBR and the people who worked there. I mean, they told me I got two buttons I can touch. That's it. Don has told me, if you go in the studio, put your hands in your pocket. That's what my mother used to tell me when we went in the stores. But the reason I want to do this show, I've wanted to do it for a long, long, long time, is because the same with the police and fire and city. And now it's because of the way of the world, it's even much more complicated to do. Let's give the folks who make it happen for us some credit and understand it wasn't like, well, a 4th of July morning, they all just drove down on North Street, took out their little cameras and left. Now we had a parade.
Well, everybody has their role to play, right, Bill? I mean, that's one of the things that the television production at this scale is a team effort. You know, it's a team sport. And so, yes, there are some key critical roles, like Matt, as the producer of the program for so many years, of pulling all of those details together ahead of time so that you ensure some success on the day of the program, right? I think that's critical. And without that, you're really just sort of flailing around in the water. You know, you're chasing your tail. You're trying to figure out why we didn't bring this with us, or why we didn't call that person to arrange something, or how come we don't have enough crew, or what's wrong with the script, or how come the graphics don't work, right? All of those things melt away if you've got a good production. And the producer is the person that takes care of that. And again, right up until the moment that we go on the air, the producer is still scrambling. Sometimes afterward, the producer is, right, is scrambling around.
Once or twice, there have been those instances where the producer's role is very much the person who finds the answers to all of the questions.
Yeah.
And I would say the
and pulls all the strings together.
Right. Because the end doesn't necessarily know the answers to all the questions, but is the person who knows the answers to all the questions. Mm. So that you can take all of those pieces and tie them together and make sure that the hosts have everything they need and the technical crew has everything they need. Although I have to say there is a lot of work in that pre-planning and scripting and making sure that there are many checklists that need to be filled out leading up to the parade. But one of the other things that has made the parade possible and is exceptional is the effort that gets put in by the operations team at Pittsfield Community Television.
Yeah.
Because the PCTV's technical wizards and everybody who works at PCTV sort of gets lauded as having a certain level of technical understanding and expertise.
Yes, that's exactly right.
These are the three gentlemen whom, for the rest of us, there is some serious wizardry going on as well.
Yeah.
Because the David Cachet as the operations manager, and then the two production technicians, David Wyatt and yep. Jeff Acilio, literally spend a week. Sean is involved in there. I'm involved in there. But the three of them are really focused on taking every single piece of the production chain, every camera from the lens down to the wire that hooks it up yeah. to the truck, to the thing that turns that into a TV signal. They spend a literal week hooking it all up, making sure it all works. If it doesn't work, asking the question why, and then answering that question in as close to the same breath as humanly possible.
Just interrupt for a minute. But I love to go there like a week before the parade. Studio K, which is kitchen. it's not a kitchen that week. I mean, what Matt is saying is 100% correct. That team under the leadership of Dave Cachet, they have everything out and they're going through it to the most minute detail. And that's why when they get on site, maybe it's my old military career, but pre-planning is so crucial. Who was it? Benjamin Franklin said it. An ounce of prevention cuts the head off of bad luck or something like that. Well, you know.
What we also hear is the couple of adages that we use, right? Yeah, planning to fail or failing to plan.
Yeah.
Which one is the worst one? Well, it's failing to plan, right? You got to have that. Mm. And what was the other one? A failure to plan on your part does not automatically mean an emergency on my part. So, you know, we kind of think those things through. And the engineering of a shoot like this is a heavy lift, for sure. There's planning, and then there's the day of, you know, the setup day before and the day of the parade, where we're going through our final checks after all that had been set up, like Matt described, and making sure everything works. And guess what? Sometimes, even after the most thorough planning, something still fails the day of. And that has happened to us as well. And then you just, you know, you look at the time you've got left and the other tasks that you have in front of you, and you say, okay, what can we do? You know, what can we do as a workaround? What can we live without that camera? You know, can we communicate with that person a different way? There's all kinds of decisions, game time decisions, if you will. And the other two categories, Bill, we can talk about yep. after your break are, you know, the directing, because once everything is set, and the time counts down and the parade starts, that's when we make a lot of decisions from the beginning of the parade to the very last frame of video. That's a huge, complex thing, but it's sort of a rolling, you know, decision making. And then the last thing is the on-air talent and how much work they put in to make the parade look and sound viewable to the audience. That's what people see.
Yeah,
and hear.
And We'll get there after the break. We're going to take a little bit of a break, but I wanted to say this. When all else fails, this is what the military says, improvise and overcome. And sometimes the rain is just put a poncho over it. We're going to take a break. I just want to say this. This is my flag. You may not like it, but please don't disrespect it, because I have friends and others, acquaintances, that fellow Vietnam veterans in all the wars that are buried under a flag like this. And if you don't, just take a ride to a cemetery and just remember, at some point in time, every one of those people will sign their name on a dotted line that they would die for that flag in this country. We're not perfect. We certainly aren't perfect. But I've been all over the world, and I've yet to be in a perfect place. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV with the people, two of the people who make the 4th of July parade happen. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to talk about. Sean was the director, and we'll let him talk about that. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right. Hey, we are back. Today's a special show, kind of a tribute to the people. As I started with the fire chief and the police chief and their departments in the city works, public works, to put together the 4th of July parade, something I've wanted to do for years. But this year particularly, I had the honor of being the grand marshal. And so maybe more people come up to me and just, they enjoyed it, but they didn't fully comprehend what it took to enjoy it. From the fire and police and all the alternate routes for ambulances and fire trucks and blah, 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 and security in today's world and the public works guys and gals that were out. So now it's the people who put it on TV and the radio. I owe them, I owe them for every time you turn the radio or TV on and I'm on, means they made it happen. I do have to tell a story about Sean Sayre, the guy sitting there. He's the executive director, but he's also a wizard. So one day when we're moving the studio from the old Taconic to PCTV, Federico Drive, I said, "Where's Sean? I got to see Sean." They said, "Well, he's in the studio." So I went, he said, "You're not in here." And all of a sudden I heard a little commotion. And I saw these 2 feet sticking out from underneath the console. Sean is down there wiring something. I didn't bother touching him because just in case he shorted out. But
it's an occupational hazard. You know, yeah, I just won't tell you how long it took me to get up from that position.
Yeah. Well, when I used to work in the shop, they had this guy, I won't name him, but call him Sparky, but he would test 220 lines like this.
Oh, boy.
Until OSHA came, and that was the end of that. But Sean, you were the director. Matt was the producer. For the people that just tuned in, Matt did all the pre-work right up to the national anthem, and then even afterwards, as things. But Sean, how did you prepare to be the? It's not your first rodeo, but how did you prepare to be the director?
Yeah, it's been a number of years doing it, so I kind of have built on that over the years and tried to learn some lessons from the things that didn't go so well in previous years. Being the director of a multi-camera production, once it's turned over to you and you're, you know, calling the shots, you're really working with a team of people, and they're volunteers and staff, and they're all very professional folks looking to do their best work and to represent the parade as best we can using the tools that we have, video cameras and microphones and all the other gear that we use for it. So it's really kind of a source of pride, I think, to see something like that come together and operate, you know, like a well-oiled machine. I think that's really what it is. Sometimes, you know, we get off to a little bit of a rough start. It can happen where the very first thing that someone does isn't exactly the smoothest thing, and we kind of work through that. But it takes camera people with a good eye. And also, I'm on an intercom telling them the kinds of shots that I want. So not every shot from a camera, from camera one, is the same as going to be from camera two or camera eight. You know, it's just going to be different. So I'm going to be looking for each one of those two things. I'm looking for the kind of motion that they're getting, what kind of shot composition that they're giving us. Are they getting people's faces? Is the motion smooth? Are they swishing the camera a lot? You know, we want to try and keep that as consistent as possible. The mixture of the shots is important. So we start with a wide shot, go in a little closer, go a little closer than that, follow along with another camera, go to the jib shot, which might give you a kind of an up and over shot. So you see the fire trucks in all their glory. You see the floats and the balloons and things like that. We're kind of giving you all angles. And that's really, you know, the artistry, I guess, of being able to direct, of seeing all those cameras in front of me inside the truck and saying, that's the next one. Oh, look at that shot. Let's get that online. And then it also takes everyone else involved. So yeah. I'm asking a technical director, the person who's pushing the buttons on the switcher, to give me that shot at the moment I want it. And that takes practice and it takes expertise. And we had a great volunteer in the last couple of years, Dave Divis, who did that for us and does a fantastic job. Yeah. You know, we've got an engineer sitting right next to me on the left side, making sure that as the light outside changes, if it gets darker, lighter or whatever, he's adjusting the cameras to make sure that they all match, that the colors look the same, so that when you cut from camera to camera, they match. And that's important because otherwise it would look odd, you know, if you saw that. To my right is Matt every year, and he's running the graphics. So as he sees that I'm on the intercom saying, okay, we're working our way through unit number 30 and all the way through, and I'm hearing on my intercom that Dave Cachet said, okay, I'm letting, you know, unit 31 out right now. And the unit comes through and Matt's listening to that. I'm like, okay, and let's take that camera too and see, you know, whatever you VFW post, whatever, coming down the street. Okay, and Matt's putting the graphics up on that and then bringing it down, making sure that it all matches. That's all, again, under the director, making sure that all those things happen at the right time. Behind me are two people. One is an operator of a pan-tilt zoom camera system. We actually have three of those that we use for the parade now. One of them's on the top of 7 North Street, and the other two are down at the host platform on the band shell. And so that person is really operating three cameras, not one camera. And then right next to that person is the audio person, the main audio operator, who is making sure that we can hear the talent talking about what they're saying, but then also to hear some background audio, what we call NAT sound, natural sound, to make sure that when a band is coming through that we can hear them in all their glory. It's important to do that. And also, if we had a pre-recorded interview like the one we did with you as a Grand Marshal this year, you came and did that about an hour before we started our production. That's what we call a roll-in or a package, and that has to be played, and then all that stuff has to work also with the audio and the video for that. So all of those things are happening.
Simultaneously. That's the point. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a matter of concentration and then keeping that up. I'll say that's probably the biggest challenge for me.
Yeah.
Is over those 2.5 to 3 hours is staying focused and on point for every image that comes through and every next thing that has to happen at the right moment, I think. And then, you know, forget about going to the bathroom. You're not doing that.
Yeah.
You're barely getting a drink of water. And it's just you're on. And then at the end of the program, you just get to take a little bit of a breath before you pack it all in.
What happened? And I heard, because of where my position, but I heard there were breaks sometimes pretty long breaks in this year's parade. How do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, from a directing standpoint, if we know a break is coming, and luckily Dave Cachet is down on the parade route looking at that and giving us a heads up, because we're in a box, right? We're in a 15-foot box full of equipment with no windows. So all we see is what's coming to us from the cameras. Dave's out there on the street, and he knows, uh-oh, there's this, you know, one group that's still playing, and it's blocking up the entire parade. There, nothing's moving now. And that means, or, you know, oh, we don't see anybody coming, so we've got this gap of time. And sometimes we will just go to the hosts, and they'll fill a little time. Sometimes we'll roll an underwriting package, which we're very fortunate to have some great underwriters for the parade broadcast, which helps us fund PCTV and the kinds of things that we do. So those underwriters are very, very important for us. And we take several of our own little breaks during the production to thank those folks for supporting us. But we'll just, you know, we might take some wide shots, or what we call color shots. We might take a camera and see some kids enjoying their balloons or their flags or waving, you know, talking to their parents, or, you know, whatever, all the kinds of fun stuff that you see on the parade route. We might fill up a little bit with that. And then sooner than later, the parade starts again and we're back to it.
Yeah, I think, and we got and Dave Cachet, I call him the traffic cop.
Yeah.
No, really. No, he is. He's,
very true.
Right? I mean, he's down there. He's getting everybody. You come out and you do this. And and one of the things I like to share with the viewers and listeners is the pre-prep. Now, I was very fortunate to have three of my nephews carry my banner. Hmm. Well, they were there. I think they were there like by 8:30. They assembled in the gas station at the corner of East and East Housatonic and South Street, and they stayed in there. Hmm. And then they were called out. The banner carriers were called out as the group was going to go. Like when I went, they called my nephews out, and I mean this very complimentary of Dave Cachet. I used to direct traffic. There's times when you're pulling your hair out because the person's looking at you going, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to. Well, you got to go that way. You know, it's the only way you can go. But he did such a great job coordinating it, getting the people moving without walking on top of each other or so far behind you could go for lunch. You know, right. And
it's funny because I watch other parade coverage when I get a chance. Like I think of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Yes. Of course, that's a national production, very highly produced. Everything is, I'm sure, thought out all the way down to, you know, every single shot and every, you know, every detail is all worked out. And of course, it's all done for television. I suppose being there in person would also be a lot of fun. But what you're seeing right there on the stage in front of Macy's is all very predictable. So they know they're going to, you know, the act is going to come in, they're going to stop, they're going to produce whatever song or float or whatever it is that they do, and then they're going to move on. And in a parade like the Pittsfield 4th of July parade, really, this is more of a parade for people that are there. And the TV coverage, while very, very important, is not the primary reason that they have the parade, right? Unlike something as major as a Thanksgiving Day parade in New York City. So we understand that, and we try to work within those boundaries to say, hey, we're going to get the best shots we can under these circumstances. People aren't performing just for us, right? That's what we need to remember, and we try to take that into consideration and balance it out so that we can provide the people at home with a great looking production while at the same time keeping that parade moving.
Yeah. And it, yeoman's job to the people who do that. And I know some of the marchers or acts or whatever aren't always adhering to the rules. They, at one point, Rob Dwyer, who was driving that little sports car, But I thought you may have to bring get the jib to dip down and just pull me out of that because I wasn't sure I'd ever get out.
It's a great car you're in, though.
And a side story.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous car.
Yeah. And a side story. You know how you wave to everybody? Well, the day before, the 3rd, I went and got a cortisone shot so I could lift my arm up that high. So that's an old man's joke. But I think one of the things that make this parade so important to the people of Berkshire County is the effort that goes into it. From everybody, I don't care whether you're like with our group, we have a lot of volunteers on the cameras in various stages through the parade. Folks, I want you to know they volunteer to do that.
Yeah,
and it's not an easy job.
I wanted to make sure to somewhere in here, and I appreciate you bringing that up, Bill, to commend the volunteers who are involved in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
Because the entire staff of Pittsfield Community Television is there on site.
Yeah.
But you have a range of volunteers whose skill levels range from, for example, our technical director, Dave Dibbis, does that as a day job. He's a freelance technical director running video boards. And it is a tremendous get, as it were, for PCTV to have. We have some pro volunteers like that. Most years, our audio is produced by John Williams, who, if you've been at a live event in Berkshire County, there's an above 50% chance that John Williams is running the soundboard.
Right. Yes.
Rob DeVane, for example, running our
exactly.
Was a former employee of PCTV and has become an expert in our jib operation over the years.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then you have volunteers who have never done anything like the parade before.
Right. Right.
I can think of as a specific example, PCTV's 3 production interns this year.
Yeah.
Had never been involved in anything quite like this. One of them had never really been involved in television production before the week of the parade.
Oh, wow.
So, and we tossed her on a camera and had her doing some of the major shots of the production. So there are, and then you've got everyone in between. Skill level and capabilities wise. We've had some years where there's someone who's enthusiastic about doing it saying, I'm here, I'm making the parade happen. I have no idea what I'm doing. And we teach them the morning of, this is your camera, this is how to use it. And then you've got some of the old hands who come in.
Yep.
Another old hand that I think of who's been doing parades for many, many years. Is Rick Folkrod, who the audience got to know very well this year because he was doing some fantastic handheld shots, right into the road, literally in the middle of the action with the units coming by.
Yeah.
Without that volunteer support, without that group of people who say, no matter what their skill level is, I want to make a parade.
Right.
That parade coverage could not happen because even with the experience capabilities of the PCTV staff, there's just no way to make all of the pieces work. Hmm. And it's an incredible undertaking for that group of volunteers to come out year after year. And if it rains, they're pouring the water out of their shoes. If it's hot, they're the ones standing there covered in sweat. And they've decided to take their holiday, whatever it looks like for the 4th of July, and give it back to the people of Pittsfield by helping them have their parade. they're an incredible group of people, and I can't say enough good things about them.
Right.
Let me throw in another group of people to thank, which is we have some very cooperative downtown businesses that help us do this. And I think of the folks at the Holiday Inn, formerly the Crown Plaza. You know, a week before we do this, we're climbing up on their roof and running 650 feet of fiber optic cable up over a roof for a temporary installation, and sort of, you know, we sort of impose on them, hey, we need access to this room, that room, you know, these doors or whatever. And it's time that they put in for us and allow us to tap into their power and have some temporary access to their building. And, you know, and they do all that for us for the sake of the production and the parade. And I think that's really nice. The folks up at 7 North Street who allow us to use their rooftop perch to mount a camera and to provide that shot. Again, under no obligation to do it. You know, they haven't charged us to do it because we're a nonprofit organization just trying to do the right thing for the community. So it's nice to be able to thank those groups who didn't need to do that. I think of the city of Pittsfield's DPW, for example, helping us with the snow fence. We have to sort of create a little perimeter around our production area for the safety of, you know, pedestrians and also our crew and our equipment. So that's something that they do for us every year. The parade committee brings us bottled water so that our crew is not thirsty. It's just little stuff like that. And it's all a cooperative venture. Yeah. You know, everyone is in this for the same thing of providing the best experience for people. And so those are things that we don't often get a chance to really call out and say thanks.
Well, and I'm glad you did that, because there are a lot of people who work behind the scenes. And one of the reasons I'm doing these shows is to let the public know that it just doesn't, you wake up the 4th of July morning, you take your chair down and you sit in front of the bank or St. Joe and look at a parade go by. A lot of work, a lot of effort, and some costs have gone into that. And I have to say, and I repeat myself again, but one of the things I missed the most when I was overseas in Vietnam was the 4th of July parade. Now, yes, I've been going to 4th of July parade with my mother and brother and sister since I could walk on Wakona Street. But it's there for us. These guys and a lot of people that behind them, volunteers, paid contributors, and I'll make a little. They're going to get mad at me. They don't know I'm going to do this. Feel free to write a check to WPCTV or WTBR, Federico Drive. I don't remember four.
Four
Federico Drive. Or stop in and drop some cash or a check on it. It's not free. I mean, there were salaries in there, but you got it for free. And I contribute every month, not a lot, but it's deducted every month.
Yeah.
It's important that you support their efforts because they enjoy doing it. That's the other. All the years I've been associated, I've never heard anybody gripe. I mean, the gripe of, oh, God, it's going to rain.
Only if it's raining.
only if it's raining or hotter than you know what.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's worse.
Right. I'll say also, Bill, the impact to people outside of Pittsfield or outside of watching the parade in person. I was actually just doing reviewing some numbers that we received. And we don't ever know how many people watch us on cable TV. And of course, we also had a separate broadcast the last couple of years. This year included on WTBR-FM with a completely separate group of hosts who called the parade for people. So if you're listening on radio or listening on the web stream for WTBR, you could hear an account of the parade that way, which I think was a lot of fun. But we provided the parade on PCTV Select, which is our over-the-top streaming service. It's available on our website, pittsfieldtv.org. It's also available on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and on iOS and Android mobile devices. And between that and Facebook, which we also did some Facebook videos so that people could watch the parade that way. We reached over 21,000 people
wow.
this year who watched it and on one of those platforms. That was the combined number. That wow. is a huge number, I think. Yeah. And it just shows you how many people have interest in watching the broadcast,
yeah.
You know, and also who depend on it, who can't be there. But like you were saying, you know, when you weren't able to be there, that's the thing that brings you back home.
Yeah, no, it's true. And one of the other things, I've told this story before, too. One time when I was doing a talk radio show on another station, a lady called in. I'll never forget it. And I think try to think about it every time I'm on the air. She called and she said, hi, Bill, I'm elderly and I'm a shut-in and my kids don't live close by. And so I used to be on 3 hours a day. It's crazy, man. But and it was a call-in show that really shows you I was crazy. But she said, listening to your show and your guests, that's my connection with local, what's going on locally. You know, I never have forgotten that because, you know, there, like with this parade, there are a lot of people who just couldn't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, whatever, transportation, all kinds of issues. So for WTBR, PCTV, to get out there and produce this parade, is I hope this show is demonstrated. It's not an overnight deal, you know, really and truly. They start, as they said, back early April, if, like Matt said, if we're late May, starting to put the production pieces together, starting to get it so that when you turn your television on the 4th of July at 10 o'clock, there's your parade. And I want to thank Matt and Dave, and Dave Cachet wasn't on today. He's the traffic cop. He's down on the street. He's Matt's done the production. Sean's doing the directing. And Dave's directing traffic, which amounts to bands and people and fire trucks and army people and all kinds of stuff. Thank you all for watching the parade. Thank you all for watching this show. I will say this to all of the people who are having any way, from the parade committee to Matt and all the people from PCTV, WTBR, all the city workers, thank you for your efforts because it was a wonderful parade. The only drawback was of a little fat bald guy in the back of a sports car waving everybody after a quarter zone shot. That was me. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And like I always do, don't keep this in mind. Make it better. Don't tear it down. That's what I would say. God bless to all of you. And today, make somebody smile. Do something for somebody. It'll make you feel great, and it'll help them with their day. Thanks, guys. I so appreciate you calling. I got two quick announcements. On Wednesdays, during the month at the Ralph Friel Senior Center. And then I got to just happen to bump into one of the people who sponsored this and said it's going very well. Memory Cafe, it's in the Berkshires, will be held from 1 to 3 in the boardroom at the Friel Center on North Street. A Memory Cafe is a casual social group of four caregivers and people with mild cognitive impairment or memory loss. It's going out really well. It's people helping people with this situation. The other I want to say is they were on Flight of the Monarch. It's happening down at Shakespeare and Company. And for people like me who don't like to drive at night, every one of them is a matinee. So how cool is that? Without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, we're out of here. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. I'm going to get my my backpack and water and lunch, and I'll drive up there and visit you one day.
Awesome.
Take care. Thanks so much.
See you guys. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Keep on trying.